F2. Number 8B.
Now, we want to start with the epistles, and it is a big subject, and it's a new subject. So, whenever, every time something new is coming to our thoughts, let's be a mother to it, so that the new comes to us in a gentle way, without crisis, without chemicalization, without upstirring. And we can only do that if we have that woman sense and mother sense which acknowledges but the one and not any sense of duality. In that paragraph on obstetrics, Mrs. Eddy says, teacher and student should be familiar with the obstetrics taught by this science. To attend properly the birth of a new idea, you should detach mortal thought from its material conception. So let's detach mortal thought from its material conception. Let's see that all that is able to conceive of a divine idea is that true sense of man within us. That only that pledge of spirit which is given into our heart can conceive of a new idea. Therefore, nothing else but the divine in us can conceive of a new idea. Therefore, just detach the mortal thought from the belief that we as a person should be able to get a new idea, to conceive of the new idea. So neither age nor any human condition can either grasp the new idea nor hinder the conception of this new idea. Just keep that tenderly in thought as you go on through the years, that nothing else but the Spirit of God can evolve the Spirit of God, and that it is always the divine light within us that is happily, joyfully, willingly accepting every new spark of life. So, it doesn't matter if you are humanly seen old or young, the Spirit is always new. It doesn't matter if you are a man or a woman. It doesn't matter if we had a good education humanly or not. Spirit is not dependent on human education. So try, as you go on through the years, to be aware that all those hundreds of suggestions which come into your consciousness and which want to tell us why we can't take this science naturally and happily and rejoicefully, that they are mortal conceptions, and that they don't belong to us, and that they can neither hinder the conception nor be a help for the conception of a new idea. The idea that is being born to our age is the idea of science. And so just pray in your thoughts and in your heart and with all our love that nothing can stop the conception of the idea of science. pray lovingly and see that everything which is good in you wants to accept that idea of science, and that there is no resistance within you in any way and shape and form that could obstruct a happy, natural, safe birth of a new idea. Be a practitioner to yourself. It is so important that we are not only concerned with our tummy aches and with our headaches and so on. The problems which we have to solve are far bigger. It's the claim that we can't receive the science naturally, happily, joyfully, unresistingly. Handle that claim just as you would handle the claim that you would have cancer or rheumatism or anything. If you would have that, you would stand on your hind legs, I'm sure, and just pray about it until you are through. Well, stand on your hind legs. Is that a bad word, hind legs? No. I have to be careful over here. I'm told that certain terms are not spoken here, which can be pronounced in England. But how can I know? But you will always feel, I think, that I mean it well. So, I think that's what we have to do, you see. That as we rise higher, and as the platoons of Christian Science are thoroughly drilled in the planar manual of their spiritual armament, not only in the science of physical harmony, well, there we encounter bigger problems, where we have to be a practitioner to far bigger problems than temporary bodily ailments. And so let's give all our heart to that, to break down the resistance which wants to resist in any way the birth of science within our consciousness. Now, let me start with Rome. Now, I will try, as good as I can, to summarize that epistle to the Romans, which is rather longish. Just try to summarize it in my own words, just the big red line going through it. All the details you will have in the book, much more precise, but what I try to do is to give you the atmosphere of each of the epistles. Now, Romans is, in the Bible, the first epistle, and rightly so, because Romans is that epistle in which, so to say, the fundamental doctrine of the new gospel is presented. So to say, the cornerstone of all the epistles. There Paul introduces this new gospel, and he defines that new gospel. What he therefore does, he defines to us the new step in consciousness which we have to take if we really want to get out of the Jewish belief, of that belief of being still living in the consciousness of the Old Testament. And he calls that gospel, that it is the gospel of God, the gospel concerning his Son, our Lord, declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness. It is the new gospel where he can see that our relation to being or to God is a filial relation. That's right, filial relation is a sonship relation to God, where we belong to God. The Son belongs to the family. The Son belongs to the Father. He inherits or has inherited all what the Father has. It is that consciousness of being one with God. Declared to be the Son of God with power, he could see, you see, that if in consciousness we claim that constant unity with God, with being, that this would manifest itself as divine power, that would open up the floodgates of divine power. The Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. You see, that is, it is according to the Spirit of holiness. Only that within us which is holy can be one with God. So the filial relationship which man has with God is always a relationship of that which is holy within us with God. Nothing which is not holy within us can ever be with God, can ever be atoned with God. That's impossible. Therefore, he introduces that term faith, because faith is that sense within us which coincides inwardly with God, trusting God, accepts God in his wholeness and entirety. So he says further on, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." You see, he sees that we can tap this gospel of the Son through faith. And he even says something more, to everyone that has faith. He is the man who freed mankind from being split into any part, into any human or material classification. He speaks to every man. He doesn't speak just to the Jew or just to the Greek, to every man. So he breaks right open the belief that we are many men, many classifications and categories of men. He sees that in God's sight there is just one man, and that everyone has access to God through faith, and having access to God through the true sense of faith, everyone receives that power of salvation from God. So, because he could see that, you see, he was asked by Jesus to go to all mankind, to go that he would go before the Gentiles. A horrible thought to the disciples of Jesus at first. To the Gentiles and kings, and even to the children of Israel. That comes at the end. Jesus sent him and said, you go to the Gentiles and to the kings, and perhaps even to the children of Israel. They may even also accept them, those who had the promise, but didn't take it. You see how Jesus' thought broadened after the ascension to that universal sense,
and translated it to Paul's conception to see that the idea of the Christ is not restricted to a religion or a race, but that it is a scientific idea, a universal idea, which already is at work everywhere and on every plane of thought. That's what we must see. And that's what Paul now tries in all his letter to exemplify and bring nearer to our heart. So Paul's mission was very much different from Jesus' mission. I wouldn't like to sign that on the dotted line, but more and more I just feel that Paul's life was just an elongation, so to say, of Jesus' life, and that John the Revelation's life, just was an elongation of Jesus' mission, because both Paul and John the Revelator were taught by, spiritually taught by Jesus. Jesus appeared to them. And so let's just see that Jesus, Paul, the disciples, John, is just one concept of the Christ, appearing first as the human sense of Jesus, then perhaps as the human sense of Paul, and then as the human sense of John the Revelator. But really, it's the complete idea of the Christ as life, truth, and love, showing the universality and scientificality, or can you say that, the scientific nature of the Christ. So Paul's mission was to take that Christ spirit, which was exemplified in demonstrations in Jesus' life, and took that spirit and tried now to do a big job, namely to teach that Christ spirit to everyone, so that everyone would be able to emulate Jesus' demonstrations and Jesus' life. I think if we can reduce his doctrine of the new gospel to a simple denominator, I think it is this, that he gave the new way to God and showed that this new way to God would bring definite, universal, spiritual power to men. See, this question is more or less the fundamental question of every religion. I think every religion in every state of development is always a question of how men can please God, or how can men approach God so that God would be pleasing to men. In the earlier religions, you always had the sacrificial worship of the people sacrificing something to God. For what? To please God. Why to please God? Why should they please God? Because they felt that God is pleasing towards men. So this is a common denominator, I would say, of practically every religion. What differentiates each religion from the other is the method of this fundamental relationship of men to God and God to men. And the Gospel, the New Testament, is therefore that new method, and says that new method is not by sacrificing calves and doves and lambs, singing and and making feasts and I don't know what, and rituals. It is that approach to it is a new method through faith. Well, faith in the sense that we have discussed it yesterday. We could perhaps, in our terminology today, we would perhaps say, instead of faith, through a constant, conscious unity with God. That's the approach. That's how we are one with God. It's through that, what he said, through that holy, through the spirit of holiness, where we, in our wholeness and holiness, are one with God. And the second phase is that always taps the infinite source of God, so that God flows to us and comes to us as saving, helping, blessing, loving, or whatever it is. Now, he can see that, you see, that therefore, in our approach to God, all that is necessary is a true sense of faith. Whereas the Jew was trying to approach God and please God through being self-righteous, of being righteous through one's own self-effort, out of one's own self. Whereas the liberating method of Christianity is different. That it says the moment something in you is coinciding with the divine, you are one with the divine. No matter what has happened ever before, that's the righteousness of God and no more the righteousness of man. You see, the moment one touches being in a scientific way, you have no more that sense of death. That sense that if one has something wrong 100 times, that then the 101st time you cannot get hold of the good, because first you have to be penalized for what you have done 100 times wrong. But science doesn't know that. We can calculate 99 times wrong. But the moment we coincide with the principle of mathematics, we have it. We have it just as much as if we haven't done something wrong before. There is no penalty the moment we see the light. Religion says you have done wrong so long, now before you can receive the blessing of God, you first must go through penalty and work and so on, and to do all sorts of things to wash yourself free from all what you have done wrong. And you can see it all is based on that false belief that men, people, can do wrong. Now, in science, that falls away. And Paul was naturally the most explicit example of this new sense of righteousness. He really gave hell to the Christian. No one like him. He did everything he could as a soul, when he was still Saul, to persecute, to put the Christians into prison. He was there when they stoned Saint Stephen, and he was right there. And in 1 second, he saw the light, and he was free. Nothing, no hangover from his early life. No hangover. It's the religious thought in us that always wants to punish people, and we like it. To punish people because that makes us so good, you know. We have behaved so good, and we have been so good, and the other one has been so bad. And so because he has been so bad, and has persecuted us so badly, it's just fine that he gets his back on him. That's religion, called Christian religion. Whereas the gospel is free at once. No hangover from the past. Whatever we have done in the past, there is no hangover. The moment that in us which is holy is one with God, that taps the infinite blessing of God. And there is that righteousness of God that flows to us. And we are called righteous. That's his big theme in Romans. He addresses the Christians not as sinners or half sinners, as saints. Ye saints in Rome. Right at the beginning, before they have done anything. Well, that's what we do when we treat the patient. If we don't start by seeing him as a saint, as whole, as always whole, as never fallen, well, we don't ever start. We don't ever start. So, let's have all mankind as our patient and see them as saints. And just don't let any material sense and any material sense testimony and any mortal mind testimony and any human mind testimony enter our consciousness just to defile consciousness. We just can't afford that we are going to defile our consciousness because of other human beings. We can't afford that. It's too big a luxury. It costs too much. What we have to do is that to see that we have our consciousness, and that consciousness is universal, that consciousness is cosmic. It's bigger than cosmic. It's ideational. It's of the nature of idea. No space, no time. That's our consciousness. And that consciousness we keep clean and pure. That's where we stay. That's what Paul wanted us to show. That everyone that has that space, that purity of coincidence with God, that man is a saint. And that man is righteous and justified before God. I don't like to be a saint in the human. I enjoy sometimes the human. But metaphysics...